Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Jill's Fancast. Jill's long unbeaten run finally came to an end at Priestwood last weekend as we fell to a 1-0 defeat, 2-1 defeat. Sorry, that was a good start. At the hands of AFC Wimbledon. Joining me is Owen Stanley as we look back on the defeat. Obviously the unbeaten run coming to an end, and then we'll see if we can get back on track this coming weekend as we go to the Stadium of Light to take on an informed Sunderland. It wasn't a result we was expecting last week, but when you've supported Gillingham for as long as we have, it is an entirely unsurprising result, isn't it, really?
Well, I think it's typical that we lost it against a team like that, isn't it, really? You wouldn't be against Sunderland or anyone at the top of the division. It would be someone desperately out of form, hadn't won an away game all season. Well, so I read, but apparently they've won three, so I read afterwards, so God knows.
Oh, that makes it better then.
Well, yeah, every cloud, but I think it was a result that it's been coming for a few weeks, I think, in our performances. We sort of, in our last three or four, I think we sort of staggered towards points rather than putting impressive performances. Obviously, we just got the two own goals against Doncaster. You know, Southend was definitely not a classic and we got away with one there. But, I think it was coming for a while, and I think on Saturday we just didn't really start the game at all. I think we didn't really create any clear-cut chances that I can remember off the top of my head. I mean, we were pretty stagnated. I think some of our players had the worst games that for this season. I think that we only really started playing when we got the goal back, and then I said to you at the time that I thought we would have been better off just sort of killing the game, so to speak, and just holding on for what we have, considering we had 10 men at the time. And I think you can't fault wanting to go for a winner in that situation, but I think it's also a bit of game management that, you know, we are still, despite just arguably being in the ascendancy, we have to be wary that we did have 10 men, and you know, they went on one counter attack, and you know, we didn't have enough bodies in there to get rid of it, really. I think Bolland makes two incredible saves in the build up, and then I think we just, you know, they have one more man than us in that area, and I think we just got caught out at the wrong time. And yeah, we lost the game, but I don't think we particularly deserved anything from it, to be honest. I think a draw would have flattered us. And yeah, so is the way we end a run against a team like that down the bottom, but wouldn't be us otherwise, would it?
No, I'd go along with you that it's, because you'd say probably started Southend, where we didn't play very well and we got the result.
Well, I missed the Doncaster game just
Doncaster, we didn't play particularly well, and we was fortunate that they had someone sent off in the first half. Lincoln away, we didn't play particularly well. So there's probably an element of truth in that maybe this result was coming. And I also think you're right that probably once we got the equaliser, we probably got a little bit excited, thinking we'd go and get another one in the last couple of minutes, forgetting that we was a man short at the back. And like you say, if Abel was still on the pitch, there's every chance that goal doesn't happen. But you know, I can see why we did it. In the position we were in, trying to get an extra 2 points would have been really beneficial to us.
You've got to think, in the position we were in, we're 4 or 5 points of the playoffs at this point. A point's just as good as zero, really, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's probably the outlook they had. To be honest, it was a poor game all round. I don't think we deserved anything from the game, but I didn't think Wimbledon were particularly great either. They probably had the better chances. Obviously, you had the one first half that Aimer cleared off the line from Piggott, and like you say,
blazed an open goal, didn't he, just after the first
goal? Yes, and before the winner, they've had two really good chances to score, and Bonham's made the saves. And I think our goals probably are only attempts on target, really, isn't it?
The Arca and Ember, yeah, it is. Bit of a funny one, considering it happened immediately after Aimer had to go off.
Yeah, it was from that throw-in. Yeah, the one time we scored from a long throw-in was when Aimer had gone off.
and it's a free header for Hand, and he makes the goalkeeper make a good save, and you know,
without having to move.
Yeah. Thankfully Regan was there, and I was. It's probably the bright spot. I think he deserves a moment like that. Sadly, didn't end up being important, but you know, he's been knocking at the door, and we've been used to him having like 5 minute cameos. We got a good 20 minutes in the other night, and I wouldn't be against him starting Saturday, but we'll come on to that. And I think, yeah, we got the goal, and I think half the crowd was saying like, yeah, go on, let's go get a second. And I was a bit reserved, as I said. I was like, oh, I'm not sure, because it only takes one counter attack and we're left open to put us back to square one, and that's what happened with next to no time left. We had a sort of half chance at the end of Jack Tucker's header, but he's at a tight angle. I think it would have been more relying on rebounds from the keeper to get a chance there, but in fairness to him, it's a really good, he's done really well to keep hold of it, and it wasn't being the end. But you know, we've had a good run. It's not panic stations yet. Obviously everyone knew that playoffs was a long shot for us, and still technically not out of it. It's a lot more of a bigger hill to climb now than it would have been had we won on Saturday, and it makes Sunderland almost a must-win game now to keep in touch. But you know, I've seen enough in this last 14 game period, whatever it was, to know that we can go to places and put on good performances and hopefully get the points we need. But yeah, it was a bit of one to forget on Saturday.
Yeah, what did you make of the team Steve Evans went with? Because I see some people say that they thought that for a home game against a team down the bottom, we might have been a little bit too defensive-minded in midfield.
Yeah, I don't think we needed three defensive midfielders in there. I think O'Keefe's a box-to-box, if you like, but he is more of the defensive side than the offensive, and obviously Alfie and Tommy are much more defensive in their own form, and I think it sort of galvanised us a bit defensively. But I think going forward, it really made us suffer a bit, because we really only had Akindi, Hanlon and Lee in the offensive pattern of play, and I don't think it really helped us get the ball forward and create attacks when we were basically relying on Lee on his own to make something happen. And if I'm honest, the first half I forgot he was even playing most of the time. When he went off at half time, I didn't even notice he was on in the first place. But yeah, I think it did leave us a bit empty, and going forward I don't really manage to create anything until, as you say, the chance when we had a lot more attacking players on. I think it was a bit of an opportunity you would have had for Pringle or Willock to start and give us a bit more going forward. And I think with three defensive midfielders, it did limit us a lot. But I don't think it helped them either, because I think it's the worst game I've seen Alfie Jones have.
Yep.
You know, he was putting the ball out of play from simple passes a few times. He didn't really seem to be able to do much on the ball as he usually does. But yeah, I would have put one of Willock or Pringle in for that. I think it just left us a bit too defensive and sort of invited them to come onto us in the first half. And you know, they probably should have gone in at half time one or two up, really. But you know, we got it through, and then obviously they make the breakthrough, and then changes have to be made. But at that point, it's, you're just hoping, really. But I think it's something that we would have learnt from now. But you know, it's not something I don't think we need to be doing at home. Away, perhaps it's, yeah, you can get away with it. It does help away when you're under more constant pressure. But I think at home, it's sort of, you need to be on the front foot. I don't think it really helped us too much.
Yeah, and how frustrating is it that I think they are, correct me if I'm wrong, they're the only team that's done the double over us this season?
Yeah, I can't think who else would have done.
I don't think anyone else has. Mm. Which is mad. But in a way, is it that surprising when they have got so many of our old players that, despite their league position, they've probably naturally got half a team that are going to be a bit more pumped up to come and play against us, as we see in the instance of one of them, who seemed to have a bit of a bee in his bonnet from minute one all the way through to the end. It was a case of former Gills players putting us away in the end. Obviously, Piggott getting the first one, and then Callum Riley, of all people, getting the winner. And yeah, weren't without involvement from the other two. Like I say, Wagstaff was involved the entire way through, I'll put it that way. And obviously, I think in the eyes of the management, and I think in the eyes of us as well, watching from the stands, Luke O'Neill should have been sent off with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's clear block or pull, whatever you want to call it, on Regan when he's trying to run into space. And I think think it was a blatant yellow. I think if he wasn't on the yellow before, he'd be carded for that.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's, I think he only got his first yellow a few minutes before, so maybe the ref was a bit cautious not to be too heavy-handed, so to speak. But I think, you know, I think other than Wagstaff and the way he acted, I think the other three were fine. I think, to be fair, Piggott doesn't have too much of an affiliation with us compared to the other ones. It would have been a long time since he was here. I think a few people were booing O'Neill. I don't really get that. He's, you know, I speak to him sometimes on Twitter. He's always quite happy to talk about us, and he always talks about us in a positive light, and I don't think there's anything really that anyone has a real reason to have a problem with him for. I don't see why. Riley was he's good at popping up in those sort of situations, isn't he? There's times where he played for us. I remember when he won a penalty against Fleetwood, he sort of just seemed to like appear out of nowhere into the box. He does seem to have a good footballing brain in that sense, but no, I don't have a problem with him. I think he's still a decent player. He's one of the ones I was surprised we let go, but you know, is what it is. And you know, I think Microsoft played us a massive compliment. He's clearly out there celebrating as he is, because he's trying to tell us how good a run we've been on and how impressive it was that he needed to celebrate in that way. And I think that only just goes to show that we are one of the best teams in this league. And I think when you celebrate a lot over beating Gillingham twice, it shows how well we're doing. I think that's what he was doing, is trying to show us respect about how good we are. Don't think there's anything else.
I'm sure not. It's just weird about Wagstaff, because it's as if he feels like we owe him something. When, to be honest, mate, 2 years you've sat here as one of our highest earners, injured.
Probably owes us a couple of hundred grand in medical bills.
And then, like, you could see at the end he was gesturing towards the Medway stand as soon as the final whistle went. Some people were saying it was a scally. I don't know if it was that's true or not.
Apparently some people were saying there's, as you would imagine, there's representatives from Wimbledon sat up there as well, but I don't think he'd be giving it the way he was if it was to them.
No, and obviously, and then he come towards Rainman as well, didn't he, and started giving it, which, whatever, if that's what makes him happy, and fair enough to him. At the end of the day, we're still drastically better off than they are this season, so I don't really know.
I don't know where it all sprung from, really. We're at the away game before the game started. I didn't have any problem with him, but he seemed to act a weird way that game as well for some unknown reason. And I think our fans remembered that and started giving him stick. And of course, I'm not going to say, like, if you give someone stick, you sort of should act surprised when they give it back. I think it's all part of the game. And if you give him stick, he'll give you a few gestures. I ain't got a problem with that. It's just the way it is. But yeah, I think it was a bit over the top. But
yeah, because, for example, in... Well, I can't remember if it was the first half or the second half, but there was a corner down the Rainham end, and people, like the Rainham end, were singing at him, and he was standing there just sort of laughing and cupping his ears to the crowd. And like, that's fine.
It's but funny, isn't
it? Like that, you just say, is part of it. But then when it gets to the end of the game, when he's like careering around the pitch, like they're going up, having beaten up.
Did you see on the replay when he scored his, had a word of O'Keefe, like shouting something at him?
Yeah.
I think Fuller had a word of him at full time as well, didn't he?
All a bit weird. Like, you've not made a better move for your career going from us to AFC Wimbledon.
I've never seen a player appeal so many decisions as well. Like, every time the ref blew, straight over. I don't know. It goes on about the subject of referees in this league. Like, I'm not even exaggerating when I say, I'd say about more or less every decision the referee blew for, straight over, calling for yellows. I don't know why the ref doesn't just book him.
Yeah.
So go away. So if someone's in your ear constantly and you're not giving them decisions, surely you just want them to shut up. Just give them a yellow to be on your way. If you come to do it again frequently, I'll send you off. But ref obviously didn't seem like that was the appropriate way, so he just invited him to go and appeal everything else, because like, you're not going to do anything, so I'm going to keep coming over. But yeah, he is not in a better position than we are. He won't be next season, or the season after, or the season after that. All the one after that. So, I mean, he can have a happy weekend. They haven't had many of them this season, so I'll let him have this one. They'll probably lose next week, and then, you know.
Yeah, that's enough about them.
Sadly, they won't go down because Tranmere are all that bad.
That is very true. But no, in terms of us, like you touched on earlier, we just had too many that were off par, particularly, you know, the front two weren't particularly at it, in which case we was always going to struggle to score, weren't we?
As I said earlier, I think Jones had one of his worst games. He's constantly passing out of play, not finding the opponent. Lee pulled off at half time, and I think the front two were not good at all. I think Akinde was essentially invisible for most of the game. Right. But the thing is with him, when he did win flick-ons, there was no one there to get into it, and he was the one who actually sent Hanlon through an injury time with a free ball. And he had that, what was it, that header that sort of like trickling towards a goal, but he's never really, again, he's never really in any danger of going in.
Yeah.
But I don't think he did enough. And apparently, like, we went to form, didn't we? And Evan said he's still not 100% match fit, which makes me think, why didn't we put him on the bench in that case? But I don't think we'll see the best of him until next season. But hopefully, it'll be worth waiting for. But you know, Brandon is a separate issue. I've always credited him for how much he works, but he's so frustrating to watch at times. I think the thing with him is, like, when you see him get into good positions, you find it hard now to get excited and think, well, what's going to happen here? Because there's a sense of inevitability about it, really, that, you know, like, there's a lot of situations where he'll get past a player and get on the byline, and then he will just sort of aimlessly hit it across the goal without looking up. I think there's like two or three instances where there's about three of our players in the penalty area in good positions, and he managed to find the Wimbledon player every single time. And he is one that divides opinion. Out of contract at the end of the summer, I'm still not sure what I'd do, to be honest. I think his goal record this season is poor. His goal record last year was sort of covered up by Eves and how good he was, and I think sort of Brandon Hanlon in some people's eyes is really, you know, he can't really be moaned at for anything. But there'll be people slating Akinde, rightly so. I would slate him as well, but I'm saying that you can't really just blame it all on Akinde and say Hanlon was brilliant, because he wasn't. And it's sort of the same sort of thing we've seen from all season, where he gets into all these good positions and he works hard to get into them, whether it's a bit of skill past the defender or just like burn them for pace, but it's always the end product is just never there. And you know, when Akinde sends him through an injury time, I initially thought he was offside, maybe it's just a habit, but he had about 2 yards on the defender, and he just failed to control the ball, and the defender just nipped in front of him, and that was the big chance we had in injury time gone. And I don't know what you think about him and Akinde on Saturday.
Well, no, like I said, I thought they were both well off it. I think it probably was Akinde's worst game for us. I mean, there's going to be a thing with Akinde that I think quite a lot of people will end up labelling him lazy. But what I would say is that because of his physique and his stature, he's never going to be one of these players that charges around the football field as much as people like Hanlon do. Because if Akinde was playing full tilt, pressing every ball, he probably won't get you past half time, and then you'd have to take him off because of his physique. It'd be like playing Akinfenwa and asking him to press all the time.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get 90 minutes out of him. But I don't think it's stuck enough with him at the weekend. And like you say, I still don't think we've quite sussed yet how to play off him, because there are times when he does win the flick on and there's no one around him, which obviously, if you're going to get the best out of him, it needs to do. And I do think you're probably right that we may not see the best of John until next season if he's still trying to build up fitness. But yeah, with Brandon, I agree with you that in terms of what happens with him next season, I'm very, very split on it. Because, yeah, work rate, you can't really knock him. But I just look at the differences when he picks the ball up in them wide areas, and then when Graham does. Graham will find a yard past the defender and pick out a decent delivery, whereas he can have twice as much time and have a 3v2 in the box in his favour and then pick out the defensive team. As if he just doesn't pick his head up. And like you say, for the goal itself, I'm not really sure what people can say that to defend. I don't know how he misses. He's 3 yards out, head it left, head it right, and you score. And he managed to find the keeper's mittens. And then, yeah, the chance at the end. Yeah, if that's role reversal and that's Akinde on getting on the end of it, it's probably a goal. And that's why I have doubts over him beyond the end of this season, is because people keep saying, oh, he's not played a lot of football at this level, he's developing, he'll come with time. You can't keep labelling him.
He's nearing on 100 games, though.
You can't keep saying he's inexperienced when he's on 90 odd games for us now. That's a lot of football matches. And I look at him, do I see, in terms of his composure on the ball and his end product, do I see a massive improvement now to when he first signed? And the answer's probably no. So all this, he's going to become a really good goal scorer, give him time. I'm not seeing that he's making drastic amounts of progress. He can pick the ball up and go past defenders for days. He's excellent at that, but the problem is it's it's all well and good beating the defender, but then you've actually got to have the composure to pick the next bit out, otherwise it's never going to lead to anything. Because I think he's ranks right at the top, didn't he, in the league for dribbles completed. Mm. Well, that's good, but I'd like to know how many of them dribbles actually lead to a clear-cut opportunity. So no, I'm very split on him.
A lot of people seem to think that he'll be one of them that if we did let him go, he'll go for a big three from another club or something. I don't see it. I really don't see it.
If we released him, I don't think he'd go to a team higher than us.
No.
Which will say probably what you need to know. But no, I'm surprised Roberts didn't get on at all at the weekend.
He was injured. Got a knock at Lincoln, apparently. He's still... So I was listening to Rayner's, wherever his press conference earlier, and they said that they're still not fully sure how much he can play this weekend, so that'd probably be why I didn't come on.
And also, we had Mandra on the bench as well, didn't we?
Mm. Willock come on, didn't he?
Yeah, Willock come on, Charles Graham Cook. Come on, Charles Cook come on. But yeah, Charles Cook's 3 goals this season. Yeah. 3, well, I'd say 3 important goals. Obviously, Saturday's one didn't prove out to you, but he scored a winner at Accrington, he put us in front of Blackpool and scored an equaliser. Saturday. So when he does feature, he does have an impact. And I said to someone on one of the forums the other day, someone was moaning about the subs Evans made, and I questioned it and said, well, Graham's come on and I thought he did okay. He got some decent delivery into the box and whatever, you know, that chance of Kindy up in the header come from a Graham cross, and Charles Cook scored the equaliser. So I don't think you can knock the subs that much. And he was like, oh, but my nan could have scored that chance Charles Cook had. But no, but the difference is that I don't think any of our other midfielders would have been that attack-minded to go and be in that position to follow up the rebound. And that's where I think Charles Cook is a little bit different to the rest of them. I think he is the most attack-minded of the midfield players we've got. But for whatever reason, Evans hasn't really fancied him this season, whether that's just not trained well enough or he wants to use his own players, whatnot, I don't know. But from a fan's point of view, looking at performances when he has played, he probably does warrant a start. And
he's another one out of contract over the summer, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he's getting games at the right time now.
Yeah, because that's the thing, he's shown form at the right time.
If you asked me a month ago, I'd probably say I'd be happy to let him go at the end of the season, but yeah. Now I'm thinking might be worth keeping.
And yeah, and talk about him potentially starting, obviously that brings us on to Sunderland on Saturday, playing them for the fourth time this season.
Two in the FA Cup, one in the league.
And this one, fourth time.
Only four.
Oh. Yeah, fourth time. But they haven't beaten us yet. However, I think Evans is right in what he touches on in his comments that this is probably a very different Sunderland to the one that we played 2-3 months ago, isn't it?
Just a bit similar in a way to Evans, isn't it, really? Slow start under Parkinson, but when it clicked, it really clicked.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we can go there knowing that we have the possibility to do a hat-trick over Sunderland, which is quite interesting. But I think, although it is, they are in much better form, it's the same side as the one we've beaten twice already. I don't think we should be going there with any fear. We've been there once already, which should probably help us. And we put on, by all accounts, a good performance. We probably should have won on the day, but got it done in the replay. But I think we should go there with a lot of confidence. I think I don't see any reason why we should fear going there, having already been there and done well. Yeah, I think it'd be a tougher game than the one we had before, perhaps because they are in such good form, although they did lose to Coventry on Sunday.
They didn't play well either, actually.
It could turn out to be a big loss for them. Coventry, obviously, top of the league now, I think, with that one. It's very tight up there. But look, it's going to be a tough one. I think it's important that we respond to Saturday in a correct manner. I think if we had beaten Wimbledon on Saturday, a draw this week would have been absolutely fine. But now we sort of have the onus on us, we have to go and win. I don't really think a draw is going to be too helpful. But especially with the fixtures we've got coming up with Fleetwood and Coventry, these are games we need to get real wins out of now, considering the position we're in and that we're drifting a bit off it now. But, you know, I think we need to go there and, you know, be brave and take confidence off the results we've had against them before and know that we can beat them because we've proven it before.
Yeah, it's the same players at the end of the day.
Yeah, we know that we caused them a lot of problems. We could have beaten them by more than one goal on both occasions that we did. And I think we'll go there and put on a good performance and then we'll see what happens, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, in isolation, if we was to get a point on Saturday, I think everyone would say it's a decent result. But
what does it do in the grand scheme of things?
The reality is that if we are to keep this push alive, we need to beat a team that's above us now, and obviously they're the opportunity. And yeah, if we was to lose this one, I think you'd accept that it's probably game over. Because I think Evans at the Q&A, I think he said that by his reckoning and his predictions for us to get in the playoffs, we could only afford to lose two more games. And then if we lose Saturday, that would have been two defeats in a row since then. It's probably game over. But not that that would suddenly mean that the season's gone to a really good one to a really bad one in the space of 2 weeks. It wouldn't be like that. But
I think the main focus is to secure a top 10 finish, I think.
No, but obviously the longer we keep something alive and have something to play for, the more motivated the players are going to remain, aren't they? And yeah, it was a disappointing result from them for them last week. I did watch quite a lot of that game, and you know, they had a lot of ball and stuff. But
I changed it half time.
They had one moment like they did at our place in the league where they scored, set off the smoke bombs, and only for it to get disallowed, which was quite funny. Rightly so as well. It was a clear offside. And yeah, I still don't know if Phil Parkinson knows his best strike force with Wyke and Lafferty and people like that. I still don't think he knows what's best to do with it. But yeah, we've played them three times this season and we've not lost yet. Like I say, it's pretty much the same, bar Lafferty, it's the same set of players. And yeah, we've just got to try and... We need to find a different level of performance to what we've seen in the last four or five games, don't we? Because we got away with it against the Southends and people like that, but it's not going to wash this week.
The thing is, if there is anything that can get you over a loss like last week, it's going away to one of the biggest and best clubs in the division and turning them over. If it's going to make you believe you've still got a chance, that'll be it.
Yeah. Obviously, in terms of team for us, apparently Aimer's okay, so Evans has said today. And apparently, this is quite a common issue for Max Aimer, that his shoulder pops out quite often. It's like, oh, okay, we'll just put it back in and that'll be that. But no, assuming he is fit to play, what changes, if any, do you make from last week for this one?
I think I'll go over 4-3-3, a bit different than usual. Go Bonham for the Aimer, Tucker, Ogilvy, and then Alfie Jones at the base. Then next to him, Stuart O'Keefe. Then I'd have Jordan Roberts, Cam, if fit. If not, then I'll put Pringle there. And I'd have I'd start Graham, because I thought he did well last week. And then I'd have Hanlon from the other side, and then Akindi through the middle. I think we, as you say, like if we go there and get a point, people will consider it to be a good result. And on the paper, sort of at any other given time, it probably would be a really good result. But I think we need to win, so I think we need to really just go for it and do all we can. And if we do come up short, then so it is, I suppose. It's just one of those things. But I would try and put out a more attacking line than we did last week and just see where it takes us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a straight one, really, because had we have got the result that everyone expected last week, would be quite, because the results went for us really last weekend, didn't they? We'd have had it down to 4 or 5 points.
It was just us again, never that.
Yeah, we'd be above then if we'd have won at the weekend, which is, I can't see Lambert lasting beyond this season, because I think if we're out of the race, I think they pretty much are as well now, because they're hardly any better off than us, are they? But no, I think he will make a couple of changes to the team, and maybe give a couple more people a chance to just try and find a bit more spark, because I think performances have been a little bit flat the last three or four games, and unfortunately last week we didn't get away with it. But no, prediction wise, yeah, what do you reckon?
I'll be honest, I think we'll give it a good go, because the thing is, it's not just a must win game for us, it's a must win for them as well. So especially coming off the back of a defeat for them as well, they'll know they need to win this game. I think they only got 1 point out of the last six. I think they drew Fleetwood, didn't they? The last minute equaliser, so they'll need to win, and so will we. But I think we can't just short, and I think we'll lose 1-0.
1-0. I'll be a bit positive. I'll go for us to get a point. I'll say 1-1. what the point will do for us in terms of playoff hopes remains to be seen. It probably won't. Points probably aren't going to get us anywhere now. But like you say, the playoffs still were never were expected.
Thing is, if we are to lose, we could end up 10 behind. If we draw 9.
Yeah, and even that, then you say it's going to end with what? 9-10 games to go is a big
tough
ask.
Game as well.
But like you say, the most important thing is that we don't completely nosedive and end up finishing 12th, 13th. That if we are going to lose a couple of games, whatever, fine. But let's make sure we win enough as well to make sure we're finishing that top 10 come the end of the season. And we can, regardless of whether we finish 8th, 9th, 10th, we can look at it and say, look, we've made progress from last season. And with a bit more recruitment in the summer, we'll be good enough to go again.
Gives a good platform.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. We don't want to have a summer where, like it seems to happen every year, where we release 10 players and then bring 12, 13 in. Mm. You know, we want to get rid of 3 or 4 and then bring in 5 or 6, but keep the base of it together. If we can do that, then we'll have a decent chance next season.
I'm sure if we finish 10th, there'll still be everyone saying we only finished 3 places above last year, but we'll be on a healthy amount more points than we got that 13th.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, last season we were still considering relegation with 4 games to go. Mm. Whereas would we get to the start of February and it was like, well,
I've not looked below us once this season.
No, even when we wasn't winning that many games at the start of the season, I was never concerned about where it was going to go, because the performances always suggested that eventually the form would turn. And obviously it did for, what was it, 15 games in the end. Unfortunately we do what we do and lose to someone that we shouldn't. But yeah, it'd been a perfect response, wouldn't it, to go away to a team that are fighting for promotion and go and turn them over. And maybe in their mindset, they might be, like it would be playing in our minds, that we've played them 3 times and not lost. They might be going into thinking, well, we ain't got the beating over these. So you don't know. And like you say, there's more pressure on them than there is us that game. And how well Sunderland can handle pressure, we'll see.
We have shown we can go to places like that and get results. So I look at Ipswich and Peterborough, the 2 games I'm going to look at, as well as, you know, the early ones like Tranmere and Blackpool. But if we do miss out, those will be the games where we've been to Peterborough and Ipswich and by all accounts should have won. So we can go to these sort of teams and get the results. It's, I hope we can manage it. If we do get a win, then we are still in for a chance. And then we've obviously got more tough games in Coventry and Fleetwood coming up, so it's going to be a task. But you know, I'm not giving up yet, but I think if we are beaten on Saturday, that I think the boy can see that'll be that. But either way, it's been a good campaign that I'm happy with. As long as you say, as long as we don't nosedive, if we sustain a top 10 finish, I think I don't see how anyone could really have an issue with that.
No, I fully agree, and let's hope that we can respond in the right way and keep the slim playoff hopes alive come 5 o'clock Saturday. And yeah, until then, up Jills.